Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
I would love to be a fly on the wall and go back in time, quantum leap style, to see what it was like to be the parent of Donna Adelson. And what that house was like. You think she got told, you should be an actress someday? Kind of feel like that. She might have been that kid. And we sure got to see that. What we saw in a Tallahassee courtroom this week during the sentencing of Donna Adelson wasn't necessarily justice being served. It was a performance being staged. Well, justice being served was kind of the side dish. A performance so self-indulgent, so disconnected from reality, it almost felt like watching a satire of privilege. But there was nothing funny about it. It was grotesque. This was supposed to be the final chapter, the conclusion of the long, grueling saga that's haunted the Markell family for more than a decade. Instead, what we got was an encore, a masterclass in narcissism from the Adelson family, led by the woman at the center of it all, Donna Sue. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she lovely? 75 years old, convicted of first-degree murder, conspiracy, and solicitation to murder. She stood before the judge not as a woman accepting responsibility, but as someone still performing for an audience, even in shackles. That was kind of interesting to watch. She was choreographing the scene. Every word, every sigh, every look was calculated, just like she said to Wendy, you better put on the performance of your life. Well, I guess Donna thought that this is how that works. It's kind of surprising. You've been 75 years to practice, and this is the best you got? She wasn't there to show remorse. She was there to control the story. And for a few moments, it almost worked. Until the judge told her to sit down and shut the F up. Judge Stephen Everett, who's now had a front row seat to this entire circus, didn't let her turn the courtroom into her stage. He cut in more than once to remind her that this was a sentencing, not theater. That the performance was over. That the time for spin had passed. His words, an utter lack of remorse, will echo longer than her own because they captured the moment perfectly. It's not a good thing when your attorneys have to literally cite case law or argue with a judge on case law about your lack of remorse and how the judge can't take it into consideration when sentencing. And you're going to argue with the judge about this fact when you didn't even look over what your client was going to present to the court. Too busy at the crematorium, apparently, Miss Petty? You can't make this story up. If you were to like literally put this into a script, into a piece that you're going to present and pitch, okay, narcissistic mother kills son-in-law, denies it forever. All the family goes down one by one like dominoes. And eventually she hires a Tom Petty lookalike attorney that works in a crematorium. who also creepily does resemble Donna Adelson at the same time. To perform the way that they did. You couldn't make it up. You couldn't script this. One would go, that treatment's a little much. Let's pull this back. No one will believe that. But unfortunately, the world we live in, reality has become stranger than fiction. Donna's statement wasn't an apology. It was a tantrum. She declared her innocence. She scolded the jury. She questioned whether they'd even been awake. As she talked like this, she demanded to know where the real evidence was, as though years of text-recorded conversations and financial trails weren't enough to paint the picture. She claimed she'd never even gotten a parking ticket, as if that somehow erased the reality that a man, her son-in-law, was gunned down in his driveway. Even tried to throw that in for dramatic effect. Oh, it wasn't deserved. This is horrible. This is horrible. There's no evidence pointing me to it. You signed the fucking checks, you narcissistic C-word. I know some people are really offended by that one, so I'm just going to say it that way. Okay. But I think even the C word people who aren't cool with the C word would be like, yeah, she qualifies for that one. Be great if like prison numbers were more like license plates and there was letters involved. And it's like, this is interesting. A2CUNT. That's weird. It's an interesting prison number. I've never seen that before. It was delusional. And it was exactly what we've come to expect from Donna Adelson and the Adelson family. For years, the Adelsons have operated under the belief that wealth could rewrite consequence, that money could erase blood, that charm and status and polished veneers could convince the world that they were victims, not perpetrators. The same delusion was on full display during Donna's trial. When prosecutors presented the texts, the cash, the surveillance, the motive. She smirked. She shook her head. She whispered to her attorneys like someone watching a bad play, not someone facing life behind bars. When the verdict came down, guilty on all counts, she didn't crumble. She didn't weep. She glared. And now at sentencing, she had her final opportunity to face what she'd done. To speak directly to the family of the man whose life she helped end. And she squandered it. Because remorse requires humility. And humility is kryptonite to a narcissist. Her words weren't about loss. They were about herself. About her discomfort. Her disbelief. Her insistence that the world got it wrong. She spoke like someone who still thought she could outsmart the system. Like someone who believed that with enough conviction, she could gaslight the record. But that wasn't even the lowest point. The real descent into absurdity came when her husband, Harvey Adelson, took the stand. In what will go down as one of the most tone-deaf, self-absorbed speeches in recent courtroom memory, Harvey, otherwise known as one of Jeff Dunham's puppets, recently launched a full-scale attack on the judge, the jury, the prosecution, even the public. He said the process was biased. He said the media was poisoning everything. He said his wife was innocent and that this was vengeance, not justice. At one point, he even declared that the court had taken his life by taking hers. Oh, shucks. The world lost another good one. You could feel the collective tension in the room tighten like a drum. The judge eventually had to stop him, too. Literally had to cross out portions of his written statement mid-speech because it had devolved into a rant. Even in that moment, Harvey didn't seem to understand how grotesque it all was, how wildly inappropriate it is to stand in front of a family of a murdered man and whine about how you are the victim when your son's already gone down and now your wife has too. But that's the Adelson way. They turn tragedy into theater. They turn guilt into grievance. They can't help themselves, it seems. Their defenders were no better, a parade of out-of-touch allies, old friends, former colleagues, even a former state legislator. Flying monkeys took their turns, painting Donna as the real casualty here. They talked about being a good mother, a loyal friend, a woman of faith. They said they were still in shock, still couldn't believe it. They couldn't talk about Dan Markell. They didn't talk about his children, the boys who lost their father in the driveway of his own home. They didn't talk about how the Adelsons spent years blocking those boys from seeing their grandparents after the murder. They didn't talk about the wreckage this family has left behind. Those really nasty things that she said in the heat of the moment, like dressing your children up like grandchildren, like Hitler Youth, to upset their own father of the Jewish faith. You found this appropriate, you, oh, wonderful Catholic, you, Donna. Because to them, the tragedy isn't Dan Markell's death. It's Donna's fall from grace. The matriarch that they all worshiped, that they all protected their entire pathetic lives, finally got what she had coming to her. And now everybody's whose self-worth came from protecting her, well, it's gone. What do you have? Desperation, confusion, and a lot of lashing out. That's what makes this whole thing so hard to watch, because it's not just a courtroom drama. It's a psychological portrait of entitlement. This family has lived so long in a world insulated by wealth that they've forgotten how reality works. They don't understand that consequences aren't optional, that truth doesn't bend to influence. Meanwhile, the Markell family, Ruth and Phil, sat silently on a screen, attending the hearing via Zoom. Thank God they didn't waste their time or their energy or their efforts or risk getting into a car accident, a plane crash, or any other possible thing that could detriment their lives further than these monster Adelsons already have. Don't waste more of your time and energy on the monsters. They're not worth it. They didn't speak. They didn't need to. They already said everything that mattered after the verdict. Words soaked in grief and grace and the kind of quiet dignity the Adelsons wouldn't recognize if it smacked them in the face. Their silence in that courtroom said more than any speech could, because it stood in direct contrast to the chaos unfolding in the courtroom. And here's a little lesson to be learned in all of this. If you're playing along at home and going, God, effing narcissists. They're crazy. Yes. Yes, they are. But here's a little tip for you. If you have one in your life, had one in your life, they tend to do themselves in. And I'm not saying they end their life or any. No, they destroy their reputations pretty much by themselves when left to their own means, when there isn't that constant feed, giving them more energy to run around in their narcissistic circles and their narcissistic ways. When it's just them talking into the mirror, talking into a camera, where on the other end there's thousands of people, millions, diametrically opposed to everything that narcissist is trying to pitch, trying to make you believe with every ounce of their being, they implode. You don't have to do a lot to take a narcissist out. Let them go to their own means, and they'll do it for you. Trust me, I've watched it happen many times. And it's a freeing thing when you realize that. Especially when you can recognize the people and just not have them in your life to begin with. But if you got some, let them sink their own ships. They do it every time. They're masters at hitting the iceberg. They aim for it, actually, because they want to be the victims of their own ship that got hit by the iceberg, because it's the iceberg's fault, not you who went directly into it. Their silence in that courtroom said more than any speech could, because it stood in direct contrast to the chaos unfolding in the courtroom of the Adelsons. When the Adelsons performed, the Markells bore witness. While one family spun fictions, the other carried truth. One family shouted about vengeance. The other, they mourned their son. And what made that spectacle so offensive wasn't just the arrogance, it was the utter absence of humanity. Not once did Donna say Dan Markell's name with sincerity. Not once did she acknowledge the pain his family endured. Not once did she admit the role her own choices played in destroying multiple lives. Instead, she played the martyr. She acted as though she were some collateral casualty of an overzealous justice system just out to get Donna Adelson. She painted herself as a persecuted grandmother, a woman too refined, too gentle, too innocent to ever be part of something as brutal as a murder for hire. And it might have worked if the evidence didn't exist. But the evidence does exist. It exists in the calls, the texts, the bank withdrawals, the coded language about the problem that needed to be fixed. It exists in the flight record showing Donna and Harvey about to board a one-way flight to Vietnam, a country with no extradition treaty, just days after Charlie's conviction. It exists in the cold, transactional way she talked about Dan Markell's life and its value. When she stood there pretending to be a victim, it wasn't just offensive, it was obscene. There's something deeply revealing about the psychology of a moment like this, because this isn't just denial, it's strategy. For narcissists, denial isn't about disbelief, it's about dominance. It's a refusal to let the world dictate your identity. Even in the face of overwhelming proof, they cling to the fiction, because admitting the truth means losing control, and control is everything. Donna's entire life has been about controlling narratives, her family's image, her children's lives, the custody of her grandchildren, the stories told about her. Even now, as a convicted murderer, she's still trying to dictate how history will remember her. But here's the funny thing about history. It doesn't take dictation. It remembers what's true. What happened in that courtroom wasn't justice gone wrong. It was justice doing its job. It just happened to expose in vivid detail how deeply narcissism corrupts the soul. The Adelsons couldn't even let justice have its moment. They had to turn it into a spectacle, because to them, everything, even punishment, is about them. And yet beneath all the noise and denial, one truth stood tall. The show is over. The sentence is final. Donna Adelson will die in prison. But she won't see it that way. She'll spend the rest of her pathetic days rewriting the story in her head. A victim of a cruel system, misunderstood by the world, punished for loving her family too much. It's a narcissist's bedtime story. One that lets them sleep through a nightmare of their own making. But outside those prison walls, the rest of us remember the truth. A man named Dan Markell is dead. His children grew up without their father. His parents buried their son because of greed, ego, and arrogance. And no performance, no speech, no denial, no courtroom spectacle can change that. Because the lights are down now, the cameras are packing up, the curtain has finally fallen on Donna. And that's all that's left. For Donna Adelson is silence. The same silence she denied everyone else for more than a decade. The same silence that finally, mercifully, tells the truth she never will. Until the next act. The next act, which may put another Adelson or two in the spotlight. An Adelson that, well, drew a giant target on his head in court. Harvey, what did he know? He was ready to board that plane. He's an unindicted co-conspirator. Maybe that indictment's just around the corner. Time will tell. I imagine things will work out beautifully for an 81-year-old Harvey in prison. Don't you think? We'll see what happens next. Maybe nothing. Or maybe the best is yet to come. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case. Just as you think it's over with Donna, it's only just beginning. Give me your thoughts in the comments and press subscribe. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.